This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected friends, I was told unity, now the element of charity comes into it. Unfortunately, I've been very busy, so I didn't get to speak to the organizers to what you mean by unity, because every time that I've dealt with a unity talk or heard a unity talk, it's always been a reaction to something. Because unity, it kind of subsumes, and maybe that's a negative way of looking at this, but it kind of subsumes that there's some underlying issues and hence we need to talk about unity. Otherwise, if everybody was unified, why should you talk about unity? I went to I attended a khutbah in Florida, and this was in Tampa, Florida. And I remember the khatib, he was giving the talk, and he said, "It doesn't matter if you're Indian, it doesn't matter if you're Pakistani, if you're Egyptian, you're this, then that." It's like he repeated that at least five times or something during his talk. And I'm thinking, you're causing a problem. Because when you highlight these things, they cause a problem. Because you're essentially telling people these are the lines that are drawn in our community. So those people who don't have these issues or don't have these barriers in their mind, they start thinking that these are the barriers, and which one am I in? It's like the Kinsey report effect. You don't get that one, do you? It doesn't matter. It's a bad one. Essentially, the Kinsey report, I mean, I'm going off on a tangent now. That's fine. In the 70s or 60s in Indiana, there's a Kinsey Institute now, and there's a doctor called Dr. Kinsey, who came up with this really weird idea of people's sexual deviances. That this is how many people in society are into or fantasize about this type of whatever and this type. And there's this many people and this many people. So then when that report came out, people started thinking, they became a bit more bold. Oh, I have those ideas as well. So they started thinking that they're not alone in the world. And then the sexual revolution did follow very soon afterwards. I don't know if we can blame it entirely on that, but that was definitely one of the factors. So it's sometimes highlighting the issues that actually cause a problem. I remember once in our masjid, there was this young qari who'd just come back from studying, and he'd studied the seven qira'at, the seven modes of reading the Quran. And that's an interesting thing, and people should know about it, because every one of the seven modes of recitation is a valid mode of reading, just as each one is as valid as the next. And I think people, Muslims, need to be broad-minded about this and need to understand this. So I said, read, and we already made an announcement to the people that this will be, the recitation will be in a different qira'ah, in a different mode of reading. So it was all preempted. You know, the worst thing is that after Salat, the person to get up and make a fuss, with an excuse, he was really angry. He came up to me, he says that this shouldn't be done because this causes fitna. Who's causing the fitna here? Nobody was causing fitna. Nobody said anything. I was the imam at the time in the masjid. And this particular learned person who had studied, he comes up, an older man, and he said, "This, we shouldn't let this happen. It's okay if it happens in conferences, but it cannot happen, you know, for a normal prayer, you know, and so on, because it causes fitna." But the only person that caused the fitna or any kind of mischief or ruckus or problem was him. So sometimes it's the one that's crying wolf. They are the ones who are causing the problem in the first place. I'm not trying to say that we need to bury everything. But at the same time, we need to be very wise about the way we do things. Because a lot of the time, we are sometimes looking for conformity. We're looking for physical conformity, that everybody kind of looks happy and everybody's together, but hearts are broken. And that's not the way to do things all the time. I'll give you an example. I had a friend who's an imam who was an imam in South Africa. Now in South Africa, you got a lot of Hanafis and you got a lot of Shafi'is. Those are kind of two dominant madhabs that play the big roles there. So he was an imam in a mosque in which you had both Shafi'is and Hanafis. And when it came to Ramadan and Witr, that's the kind of hot, contentious issue. They had solved it for many, many, many years that after the Taraweeh was done together, everybody joined in together under one imam, the Witr they would just go and do separately. The Hanafis would do theirs and the Shafis would do theirs, and they were happy about it. Suddenly you get this new imam who reckons that this is disunity. This is wrong. And everybody's happy about it, but he reckoned that this was wrong. We should gather everybody together. Now, the meta issues of why there are differences in that, let's just ignore those for a while, because that will, if you go into that, you won't be able to understand the point I'm trying to make, right? So let's just keep it at that. So the next Ramadan, he had everybody pray together. And obviously you can't pray a Hanafi/Shafi hybrid prayer. It has to be either Hanafi or Shafi, because there is such a massive difference in that issue, whether it should be two and one separately or three together. You just can't do both together, right? And subhanAllah, whether you do the Hanafi style, the Shafi's are upset. If you do the Shafi style, the Hanafi's are upset. So he disunited the community. So although in terms of form and outer facade, everybody seemed to be different before, but their hearts were united. And now that you brought everybody physically together, suddenly their hearts are disunited. So a lot of the time we need to really think beyond, have a lot of clemency. So I thought hard about how do you give a message to somebody in general about unity. And I think, you see, when you talk about unity, like I said right in the beginning, it seems to be the contrapositive of differences, of disunity. Now, it's minimizing differences. How does a person minimize differences? Because clearly everything in the world is different. That's the nature of the world. That is the perfection of the world in its diversity. Ikhtilaful layli wa nahar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran. The days and nights. Ikhtilafu al-sinatikum wa alwanikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the differences in your colors, the difference in your languages. I was in Hajj recently, and there was a grocery store shop near our hotel. And I went there once or twice. And then after that, I went to ask the owner who was serving. I said, "Where are you from, brother?" He said, "Miwenant." He said, "I'm a Muslim, ya akhi." I said, "I know you're a Muslim, right? That's why you're in Makkah, Medina, you know? You're a Muslim." So I said, "But where are you from?" He says, "I'm a Muslim, ya akhi." People think that to break down these kind of ethnic affiliations means unity. So then I said to him, I said, "But Allah says in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. We have created you in different tribes so that you may recognize each other. You may recognize each other's backgrounds, traits, characteristics, idiosyncrasies, and thus cater accordingly." Because people are different. You can't have, even in this time of globalization, we are very diverse. And Muslims, as you know, we're feeling the brunt of this in this country, because this is the whole challenge, isn't it? People are threatened by the Muslims doing what they want to do according to their faith, even though it's harmless to others in terms of the way people may want to dress or teach their children and so on. But because the dominant view holders cannot accept that, cannot find within themselves to open up, they feel threatened, and that's why they are responding aggressively. Whereas an open-minded person would not do that. So now this person, the good thing was that this particular individual was a learned person. And I tell you why I found out he's a learned person. As soon as I mentioned that verse, he broke down in a smile. And he softened out. And he says, "Muritania." Right? He says, "Muritani." I said, كيف حالك؟ شي حالك؟ إياك لباس، إياك لباس، إياك معوضين، إياك متنعمين. You know, this is the, I don't know if you guys ever dealt with a Mauritanian, but when they start speaking to you, they're literally firing greetings at each other for about 5 minutes. Literally. You know, we just say, كيسي وباي؟ تيكي؟ الحمد لله بچي أچي؟ You know, and that's it, done, right? Like, how's everybody? You know, how's your kids? And you're done, dusted. Now, these guys are like, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. Are you okay? Are you fine? There's no problems. Are you guys enjoying it? Are you guys okay? And then, like, you know, كيف حالك again, and then ياك لباس, ياك لباس, ياك لباس. Like, okay. You know, this is, so I kind of wrote them down, I memorized them. And as soon as he heard that, he recognized that, okay, this guy knows about Mauritania. I said, I've been to Mauritania. And he got so excited afterwards. He goes, take anything from the store you want. Right? So, to try to break down certain barriers and say it doesn't apply to me, because there was another individual once when I spoke to him, I said, where are you from? He goes, I'm from the earth. It's, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying your affiliation. What is wrong is, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said very clearly, the kibr, arrogance, is that you look down upon somebody else, you degrade them, and you reject the truth. That's the problem. The problem is not who you are and where you are. Celebrate that. What is the problem is when you make that a point of superiority. Only points of superiority are taqwa in the sight of Allah. That's a point of superiority. And if there's any other point of superiority after that, it's your character. So we've got two lines. You see, all of us hail from somewhere or the other, right? Hopefully. You know, whether that be India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, would you call it? Eritrea, Somalia, you know, wherever it may be in the world. Now, those places in this country with everybody growing up eating pizza and pasta don't really matter, right? It doesn't really matter where you're from because we all eat the same kind of food generally, right? So what kind of points of difference or separation or some kind of identity that matters for us? So as Muslims, what matters is Islam. But then we're not only dealing with Muslims. We're also dealing with this huge community of human beings outside of that. So then our second point is of humanity in general. Those are the two big features. Those are the two big points that should be in our mind. One is, somebody's a Muslim, then we need to react accordingly. Somebody's not a Muslim, then we need to react as a human being, at least. And the only two points in that is taqwa and good character. They're the two things that help in this case. Because if you have taqwa and you have good character, then you are less likely to ever have problems in your life. You're less likely to have problems that you can't surmount and overcome. You will have issues, you will have challenges. That's the nature of this world. There is no life without challenges in this world. Really, if you think that there should be no challenges and there's perfection in this world, you're in a pipe dream. And life will teach you that. If you haven't had problems until now, you may have problems later. It's all about how to deal with that problem. The people of taqwa, the people of humanity and good character, they just know how to deal with the issues. That's why their hearts remain safe, because they just don't internalize these problems. They're able to deal with them. That's the most important aspect, most important message about this. That is what unity is all about. Because differences are there. Differences are there within husband and wife. Differences are there within husband and wife. Differences are there between brothers and sisters. Differences are there between friends. And we have to understand there will be differences. I just need to know, how am I going to deal with this difference when it happens? So a number of things the Prophet ﷺ guided us. For example, this generally is a bigger problem if we're to sift out a bit further to those of us who have an aggressive attitude. Some people are just naturally more aggressive than others. Some people are just naturally more arrogant than others. Competitive, let's call it competitive. Some people are just naturally more competitive than others. They just like to always be the best in something. And that's completely fine. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was approached by an individual, a very handsome man. He was approached by him to because he had heard different things coming from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about arrogance and ostentation, showing off. And he was a bit worried. Because he came to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, you can see the handsomeness that Allah has given me. And I like everything on me to be the best. Meaning, up to even the straps of my sandals, I like them to be the best, most refined. Rasulullah, and he says, is that kibr? Is that arrogance? And Rasulullah SAW said, no, that's not arrogance. What is arrogance is that you reject the truth and you humiliate the person in front of you. You degrade them. So your whatever you have, whatever Allah has given you, causes you to look down upon others. And a lot of the times, differences can be dealt with if the competitiveness within you is regulated, moderated, and has some level of prophetic equilibrium. The secret word here is prophetic equilibrium, the balance. You have to have some level of competitiveness to get somewhere in this world. So we're not saying don't be competitive and be a coward, be a listless fool who just sits back and does nothing and lets people walk over them. His deen, his parents and people around him are abused and he just sits back and laughs and drinks. You know, that's not the kind of person we're talking about. You need some level of competitiveness. You need some level of bravery. But then it should not lead to arrogance where you cannot take losing. Where it's only a game, brother. It's only a handbag. It's only a dress. I mean, you can fill in the gaps, right? So what I'm trying to say, it's being forbearing. It's being forbearing. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that anybody who is confronted by a difference of opinion, by a quarrel, by an argument, and he drops that argument even though he is on the right. He has the correct position. He is right in the reality of matters. Because when you have an argument, generally everybody thinks the reality is with me, right? But in reality, like real reality, the reality is with person A, and he decides, forget this argument, there's no benefit in it. He walks away, he diffuses it. Right? He gets a place in the highest levels of Jannah because he did that. Because Allah does not like differences in this world. And you know, the best thing is that's understood that he should be rewarded such. He was right anyway, and he decided to move. So that's a very brave thing for him to do. He really swallowed his ego, and he said, look, there's no point in arguing this because it's going to get to nothing. The other person is wrong. The other person was wrong to start with. He may even know it, but he can't help arguing. A lot of people argue despite the fact they know it's wrong, just because they're too arrogant to admit failure, to admit losing that one time. And sometimes it'll be something as simple as if you're in one of these tight streets of London and the car is coming from in front and you're in front of which, who's going to move back? Who's going to move back? Now, the only reason you don't want to move back, who is right in those cases anyway? Do you understand? The only reason you don't want to move back is he should move back. Why am I forced to move back? Even though you're totally wrong, because you've got the space. It's easier for you to move back. But no, you want him to move right to the end of the street. Because you're bigger than him for some reason. And you know what? If you move back and he went, he hasn't even seen you. And he'll probably never see you again. So it's not like there's some kind of real competition there anyway. It's a personal problem. These are the roots of disunity. They start with these kind of problems. It's a problem of the heart. That's what it is. Some people just are fitnatic. They just find these things wherever they go. Right? I don't think that word's in the dictionary yet. It is? Okay. No, hopefully not. Anyway, they just have a tendency to be like that. They want to make a big deal out of everything. They just don't want to come down from their high pedestal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the second person who is wrong. If he steps away and he is still wrong and he steps away, and he should be stepping away anyway. But just to give him an incentive, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he still gets a place on the outskirts of Jannah. Because differences are really, 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 really dangerous. Differences are really, really dangerous. And subhanAllah, where I learned to deal with people is as an imam. Because as an imam of a masjid, you're going to be dealing with many, many different people. More than you would deal normally, because you're dealing very closely with lots of different people. And you cannot hold grudges. Because if you start holding a grudge, and you start getting competitive, khalas, you're in trouble. Because you won't be able to survive. You will not be able to survive. I've heard of people who've spoken about me. I know they're speaking about me because somebody else has come and told me. Now, I don't know why the other person has come and told me. Maybe because he's got a problem with that person. So even though somebody comes and tells you that so-and-so is speaking about you, you have to wonder why he's telling you that. Is he really telling you because he loves you? Or is it because he doesn't like the other guy? This is human beings, right? And once we understand, I was with a chauffeur once going to Heathrow. He was about 75 years old. So I felt this was a wonderful time for me to ask him to learn something from an elder. Right? He was a non-Muslim old man, 75 years old, driving for Ittihad. So I said, tell me how you drive. You know, what's your principle? What's your philosophy? He says, to be honest, people, I just consider that all drivers are a bit silly and foolish. So I just make sure that I preempt that idea. So I'm careful. Because I know they may do something strange, so I have to just be careful. So I drive carefully. That's what life is all about. People are going to do things. Let's not provoke anybody. And if something does happen, let's try to diffuse it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When people, when the ignorant confront them, they say salam. They say salam, meaning they move by with peace. They diffuse the situation. So I had a situation once where the Prophet ﷺ also said, that was in the Quran what I mentioned, what the Rasulullah ﷺ said, that in fasting, in Ramadan, if somebody comes to argue with you, say, I am fasting. That should be enough to diffuse the situation and tell them, look, it's not the right time to argue. So I remember there was a brother who had a problem with somebody else, comes out of the masjid on Jumu'ah, and that person went to try to speak to him. He said, brother, I'm fasting. Now, it's not like, brother, I'm fasting to try to get one over him. Do you understand? Assalamu alaikum, brother. That's what the Quran tells me to say that to you. It's about trying to diffuse the situation. Just mitigate. There's no point. Just mitigate and people will love you. And my final point, is that the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of iman is that you love for Allah and you hate for Allah. That should be your criteria for loving something or someone and for hating something or someone. So if yourself tells you to hate somebody, it's our responsibility. And we don't understand why. You just don't like the way they dress. You just don't like the way their nose is. You just don't like they keep twitching. Or whatever the case is. Something crazy. And you're a very sensitive kind of guy, so you don't like them, right? It's, as Imam Sha'rani mentions, it's a responsibility, it's a haqq of one person over another that you should try to overcome those issues. One is that the person is evil, understandable, then you want to abstain. You don't want to be with evil people unless you can try to help correct them. But here it's talking about for no reason, it's just something weird, some kind of weird attitude that they have. No, try to work it out. At least give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't write them off for that reason. And when I say, I mean, many of you will be thinking, oh, I've got a massive problem with such a brother, such a sister, whatever it is, we don't speak. You know, how do I reconcile this? Reconciling doesn't mean you have to become buddy-buddy again. If you know there's a person that is always going to aggravate you and you're never going to see eye to eye, you don't have to be cool friends with them. You don't have to be always hanging out with them. It's not necessary. All that's required of you is be decent. Decorum, which is just assalamu alaikum, and maybe tell them a good thing if they have something good, and if something bad happens, then just give them a dua. That's it. Whether that be your relatives or whatever it is, that's what's important. Not that you have to be buddy buddies with everybody. This is another mistaken identity and idea. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring our hearts together for the sake of the vulnerable peoples of the world, because that is definitely something that we need to agree on, whether we like it or not. We can agree on it because it's selfless act. It's an altruistic act for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah help us all to open up our hearts to make this a successful gathering for that reason, inshaAllah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.